Welcome to the Closing Mark Report for July the 30th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the House is likely to take up funding for the farm bill this week. Brazil says the U.S. has not complied with the WTO rulings against the cotton subsidies, and the dispute board agrees. And the Senate and House conferees have been working through the WRDA, otherwise known as WRDA, the Water Resources Development Act. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories a bit later in the hour. Just before that, we'll visit the South Farms to see what's been happening there on the research facilities. And then, just before we talk to the folks at the Andersons, we'll hear how the food science researchers here on campus have been exploring the 1-2 cancer-fighting punch of tomatoes and broccoli. Hey, that sounds good and tasty. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. September wheat at 6:37.5, down 15.75. December futures 6:56.75, down 12.25. September corn futures were 2.5 cents higher today at 3:23.5. December at 3:40, up 3.25. And March corn at 3:55.25, up 3.5. December futures 3.90.25 were up 3.75. August soybean futures 7.25 cents higher, 8.22.75 the settlement price. September's at 8.31, were up 7.25 as well. And the November beans followed suit, 7.25 higher at 8.47.75 for this year. For next year, they were at 8.91. November 08 contract up a nickel for the day. August bean meal futures at 2.12.90, down 70 cents. August bean oil at 37.40, that was 64 higher. August live cattle 65 cents higher at 94.27.5. The October futures at 98.97.5 at the live cattle at the Mercantile Exchange were 32.5 cents higher. And August feeders at 116.97.5 were down 15. September futures there down 2.5, rather up 2.5 cents at 117.80. August lean hog 73.22.5. 45 cents higher. From the outside markets, nearby crude oil trading the September contract 23 cents lower at 76.79 for the day. The Dow at 13,340 is up just about 75 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, all in all, today is a lot better than the last couple of Mondays, if you were on the wrong side of the market, for sure.
Boy, hopefully we've reversed the trend here. These Mondays have been brutal to the downside, but basically corn and beans both have broke a dollar off those highs we've seen earlier here, and we're sort of in the regrouping phase in through here. We're trying to carve out some lows and see some type of recovery. The trade still remembers a year ago when we went into the fall or by looking for pressure into the harvest, and all of a sudden demand came at us and up we went. So until we get through the next crop report or two, maybe we can see some stabilization here.
So if you had to guess, and I don't know whether you really want to at this point, which direction might you think we'd go over the next month, and then as harvest begins, will we find an early bottom?
Well, if you use the seasonal studies and whenever you start promoting that and really looking at it closely and get everybody to follow, it doesn't work. But if you look at the seasonal analyses in here on futures, that is, we've had the tendency to bottom here in the middle of August into the 1st of September as we sort of clamp the old crop, make room for the new crop to come in. And so futures-wise, we're looking for some lows to take hold here, whether they're in or we've got another week or two yet to get them in is yet to be seen yet. But we wouldn't want to be aggressive sellers down here at these lower levels feeling that demand will start coming forward here, and and that'll be evidence. We start to get in these weekly export sales reports and also into the weekly movement, such as your end users, as your exporters and your feeders and ethanol guys come forward to establish an ownership. The big question on the other half of the equation, which I mean by that is in the cash side of the market, what will the commercial do? Will they continue to widen the basis here and yet let cash grain slip lower yet? That's still the big debate here is the basis wide enough or not? And we'll see as we get in the early part of a harvest here, see if this ownership comes forward, Todd.
And so we've discussed a bit of the demand on the wheat side. We've seen demand really strong last week. Could spill over, I suppose, for corn. Soybeans appear to be trading a little bit higher today. Is that simply on the 90-degree weather this week and the later maturity of the crop in terms of where it is in its stage as opposed to what's been happening with the corn? Or are there other things that we might want to discuss?
Now, the big highlight is going to be the weather. You know, as we get into August here, August makes or breaks the bean crop. The August weather is going to be watched very closely along with the bean production side of the equation. Reports of more rust outbreaks in the southern states, concerns that might come forward here, some aphids being sighted in the western belt. And the other big fundamental thing was the bean oil. Overnight, we saw sharply higher Malaysia palm oil values, higher world vegetable oil values, and we saw the spread take place here where the trade came in and reunited the spread by buying the oil and selling the meal and the spread. And bean oil up over 70 points gave the market some lift here as traders are looking at higher energy values and higher outside markets to support it.
Anything for farmers to be concerned about in terms of downside risk at this point, or do you think that a good portion of it's built in?
Well, futures-wise, we feel we're building in. There could still be another 30 cents down the corn from these levels, another 30 cents down in beans from these levels. Probably from a producer point of view, we still have risk in basis as the commercials probably going to widen out the cash bids here as we go in this fall. That's probably a concern. The other concern is if you do have some insurance revenue policies, need to see what point in time where you might want to be a buyer on this break in here. Because as we go lower here, in order to make sure you do get an insurance payment, you might want to hedge that at some point in time. Because if we go lower and come back up once we get into harvest, that could eat into your potential payment there, and each individual is going to be a little different on that. But yeah, there are several things producers need to look at. Some's going to have some downside risk, and some's going to have some upside risk when it's all said and done.
As July falls away to August this week, we'll start to see some of the numbers come in from the trade, taking a look at what they expect the yield for both corn and soybeans will be in the next update of the crop production numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture. I think that's due out the 10th. Can you tell me what you're looking at?
Well, we feel we're sort of unchanged at the moment, but, you know, the USDA's got a big job, and they're our best reliable source as far as being neutral to come up some evidence to work on. Currently, with 150 bushels the acre, we're looking at a 1.5 billion bushel carryout. Now, the fear is that yields a little bit better, that say if you add 3 bushels, that up to 153, corn carryout could run up to 1.8 billion. And if it's 6 bushels better an acre, it could take corn carryout up to 2 billion bushel, keeping demand the same. So as we go along in here, we'll have some previews from the private guys ahead of the August crop report from the USDA, and everybody will be plugging in their projections. But this is the actual survey the trade's been waiting for. As mentioned earlier in the morning program, even though conditions might not be the best everywhere, especially on corn, that the population counts could be there, and that could really keep everybody on edge.
And that has changed things dramatically over the years as population has jumped up from 2022 to 24 to 26 to 30, 32. in the field when they're planting, and even the corresponding site, of course, as to what they'll be harvesting. As you call and listen to producers talk about their own windshield assessments, are they saying, for the most part, and I don't really want to hear about the bad places, but across the bulk of the good places, what are they telling you about that crop?
Best corn ever.
Yeah, I thought that.
A lot of it. Now, that's not true everywhere, because there's areas that's missed this rain, but these favorable rains. But I probably got more clientele in the central part here are very, very optimistic.
Well, let's leave it at that. Thank you much. We appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
All right. Kirk Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Monday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at what's been happening in the agricultural weather world. And we'll do that with the folks at Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago. Our own Mike Sola says the forecast for tonight is pretty simple. Clear across the two-state region, lows between 60 and 65. Tomorrow, sunny. Highs generally between 89 and 94, although near Lake Michigan, highs will be in the mid-80s. Tomorrow, dew point temperatures will bump into the low 60s across the two-state area. Heat indices in the south will be in the mid to upper 90s. The minimum relative humidity levels will range between the 30s in the south to the low 40s in the north, and winds will be light in most areas tomorrow. Some northern locations will have sustained winds around 10 miles an hour. The extended forecast calls for dry weather expected through the region for much of this week. A few surprise thunderstorms may develop in the second half of the work week, that due to the excessive surface moisture in the southern plains and some weak disturbances that will develop in the upper Midwest around midweek.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
The research farm south of the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois is a busy place during the summer months. A couple of years ago, I stopped out there and developed this sound portrait of the activities. It's akin to what's been happening this summer. It starts in the soybean plots, where an agronomist was using a four-row cultivator pulled by a small John Deere tractor.
Dennis Thomas, agronomist with the University of Illinois.
Well, we planted, the farm crew here at the university puts on the herbicide for us, and we just come and plant and come back to cultivate and keep the weeds down and take maturity notes during fall and harvest it and weigh it and compare the yields to other yield plots. Well, behind us here we have a lot of four-row plots, and we're developing new varieties for the farmers. This is just the beginning stages of it. It takes 7 to 8 years to develop a variety, so this is the beginning. After we release it, it'll be available to the public to the farmers as well as private industry. They can use it for their breeding programs.
My name is Philip Stinnard. I'm the curator at the Mage Genetic Stock Center. This is the world's collection of corn mutants we have. Well, we're cultivating these fields. We have a lot of corn here that is pretty weak varieties of corn because we have a collection of corn mutants, and the plants aren't so vigorous and healthy, so we have to be really aggressive against the weeds. We generally don't use herbicides because these plants are kind of sensitive, and if we use herbicides, it'll burn a lot of leaves, so we have to go through and pull the weeds by hand. An example of a mutant, sweet corn, which accumulates sugar in the kernels, is an example of a corn mutant in a single gene.
I'm Fred Kolb. I'm a professor of plant breeding in the Department of Crop Sciences. And I'm going through hedgerows and selecting the ones that we want to keep and continue testing. A head row is just a short row about 3 feet long, and all the seed came from one plant last year. So there's lots of genetic variability, and we're trying to select the best ones to test further.
Our sound portrait at the University of Illinois South Farms was produced a couple of years ago. The farms are a research and education facility operated by the U of I College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. Dave Dickey is here now with all the day's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the House Fiscal Year 2008 Agricultural Appropriations Bill likely will be debated on the floor either Tuesday or Wednesday. The House is scheduled to begin a four-week recess on Friday. On the Senate side, lawmakers have done little with 2008 appropriations, only passing the Homeland Security Appropriations Bill. Senate Minority Whip Trent Lott suggests 10 appropriations bills, including agriculture, may be lumped together into a large omnibus bill for presidential signature. A World Trade Organization dispute panel has upheld Brazil's claim that the U.S. has failed to comply with earlier rulings against its subsidies for cotton. If the ruling stands, it could open the way for Brazil to impose $4 billion in annual sanctions on U.S. imports. The final ruling is expected at the end of August. The U.S. likely will appeal, stretching out the process into the middle of 2008. The U.S. accounts for 40% of world cotton exports. Senate and House conferees reportedly have resolved a number of conflicts on the Water Resources Development Act. Congressional Quarterly reports agreement for a $21 billion measure for water projects that include flood control, updating locks and dams on the Upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers, as well as ecosystem restoration. Lawmakers say they will file a conference report this week, and a floor vote in the House likely will come before Friday. On the Senate side, lawmakers say they will make an effort for floor debate and a vote before Friday's August recess. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. Well, up next, a University of Illinois study shows that tomatoes and broccoli, two vegetables known for their cancer-fighting qualities, are better at shrinking prostate tumors when both are part of the daily diet than when they're eaten alone. Prostate cancer is the number one cancer of men. More than 200,000 diagnoses are made every year in the United States. It is often caught early in its development. When that happens, the new cancer patient has some treatment decisions to make, says University of Illinois food scientist John Erdman.
So many men find out they have prostate cancer, so they have a tumor, then they will try to make a decision, what am I going to do now? And one of those choices might be diet.
This is particularly true if the man is in his late 60s or early 70s. Prostate cancer tumors can grow very, very slowly. Diet goes along with an option called watchful waiting. That's pretty straightforward. You watch and you wait. Well, Erdman and U of I doctoral candidate Christy Keenan Adams have published a study on their prostate cancer diet research. The two worked with tomatoes and broccoli. Both vegetables are known to have cancer-fighting qualities. Erdman says that when tomatoes and broccoli are eaten together, those qualities team up. The two have an additive effect that can actually work to shrink tumors of the prostate. It also means men, especially those diagnosed with prostate cancer, should add a healthy dose of tomatoes and broccoli to their diets.
So for those individuals, they should increase their consumption of tomato and broccoli products. The epidemiology suggests that 4 or 5 servings a week of tomato products is beneficial, and with broccoli, it's, I don't remember.
Broccoli, it's about the same.
Probably.
But the broccoli class also includes Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, and cabbages, to name just a few. John Erdman and Christine Canine Adams say it is better to eat tomatoes than to take a lycopene supplement, and that cooked tomatoes, as it pertains to their ability to fight cancer, are better at the job. He says the chopping and heating makes the cancer-fighting constituents of tomatoes and broccoli more bioavailable. One other note on prostate cancer, the odds heavily favor its development. Something like 90% of men over the age of 80 will have prostate cancer. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Joining us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at what happened in the cash grain market for the day and the weekend is Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Been eating your broccolis and tomatoes?
Sounds like I better start eating more of it.
I'm going to put a lot more of that in my diet. Hey, tell me a little bit more about what's been happening in the cash grain market for corn, soybeans, and wheat.
Well, we've had a basis weakening since the first of the month. I was just looking back. Old crop corn was 10 under September to start the month. We got down as low as 22 under the September, so corn basis lost 12 cents. We got that rain mid-July, and I think a lot of farmers and elevators were holding on to some old crop corn just in case they wanted to have something, in case we had some weather problems. And when that rain came through, I think a lot of people got rid of their old crop, and that pressured the basis. And now we're starting to see the basis come back. A lot of the end users in the southeast do not have their needs covered for August, so we probably will see a little bit of a basis improvement as we go into the month of August. Probably won't get back to where we were, but we can gain back a good chunk of that 12 cents that we lost in corn. Bean basis has been very, very flat. We started the month at 76 under the November, got down as wide as 81 under the November, and now we're back to 75 under the November. So hasn't changed much, and those are still very, very wide basis levels. The market is telling farmers and elevators to store that grain. January bids are 35 to 40 cents more than fall bids. And basis levels probably will improve, but not until after harvest. So we have to find a home for this crop, and then we'll see better basis levels after harvest is over.
You know, we usually think of basis levels as Decatur, the river, the SIF values, train values locally. Have you started watching what's been happening in the Western Corn Belt for demand from Iowa, Minnesota, possibly Nebraska, as more and more of their ethanol plants come online?
Yes, it's been kind of a shift, actually. We usually make fun of the basis levels in the Dakotas and northwest Iowa, but with the ethanol plants up there, we've seen basis levels actually get better than what we've seen in northern Illinois. You know, one comment that I heard was from a farmer who owns ground in both states. He said, "I thought I was in the wrong state. Normally the basis in the Dakotas is bad and Illinois good, and this year for a while it's been just the opposite." So those ethanol plants definitely have an impact. You know, when we talked about getting an ethanol plant and seeing basis levels improve 5 to 10 cents, I think that's understating it. I think basis impact can be much more dramatic than 5 or 10 cents in those areas.
Certainly, I suppose, if you've got more demand that's coming in from all over the place, that's the case, especially if you've got several, if you've got a whole bunch of those plants around you. And I know there are several places in Iowa and Minnesota that are that way. They've got to have a bidding war, I would think, from time to time.
Exactly. I was kidding someone. I said that at some point in time, you may just have to go out on eBay. You know, they'll be bidding for your grain. You put your grain out there for eBay and let people bid on it.
Get the computer hooked up and get the satellite because you're going to need high-speed internet, that's for sure. All right, tell me about your bids for the day.
Okay, cash corn is $3.01, new crop corn $3 even, in January $3.37, cash beans $7.73, new beans $7.88, January $8.23, cash wheat's $5.67, and next year's wheat, which is something people are starting to look at, $5.29 for July of 08 wheat.
Thanks much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us on Monday afternoons to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll be back in 2 minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Two Democrats in the Illinois General Assembly say they're waiting for word from their leaders on progress toward a budget for lawmakers to vote on. The General Assembly went back into session this afternoon. Senator Mike Frerichs of Gifford hopes the General Assembly can pass a budget by the end of this week, though he says he's skeptical after earlier promises from legislative leaders in the Blagojevich administration. Representative Naomi Jacobson of Urbana says several legislative working groups are trying to find areas of agreement and relaying their wishes to the leaders meeting behind closed doors. The wife of Illinois Senator and presidential candidate Barack Obama helped raise money for Obama's campaign this morning in Champaign. Michelle Obama hosted a $100 a plate breakfast reception at a downtown restaurant but didn't speak to reporters at the event. Governor Blagojevich has signed an $82 million incentive package that's designed to help lure the future Gen coal plant to Illinois. In signing the bill today in Farmersville, Blagojevich touted Illinois' efforts to be a national leader in clean coal technology and says that's what FutureGen is all about. Mattoon and Tuscola are vying against two sites in Texas for that plant. The zoning board in Piatt County tomorrow night hears opposition from groups who want to keep a corn processing plant from locating near them. Clarkson Grain has proposed two sites. After the initial proposal near the small village of Lodge sparked opposition, it proposed a new site elsewhere in eastern Piatt County. Opponents say the plant would create offensive odors. Clarkson disputes the claim. A panel of lawmakers and tax experts heard more complaints about Indiana's property tax system today. A veteran county assessor says it can work if new rules are followed and enough time is given to work the bugs out. The panel spent much of the day taking testimony on the pros and cons of how property assessments are administered in Indiana and whether $300 million in property tax relief lawmakers approved this year for homeowners should be doled out. Under the law that was passed in April, the money is to be divvied up among all homeowners eligible for the state homestead credit for this year's taxes. Those funds would be sent via rebate checks late this year or early next. But Governor Mitch Daniels is proposing giving counties flexibility in how to distribute that money. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to WILL Urbana. Josh Darr now joins us. He's a meteorologist at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. He'll help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest and the globe. Good afternoon to Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Tell me about the Midwest. Looks like it's going to get a little warmer than it has been here.
Yeah, it will. We're in store for some of the warmest temperatures probably we've seen this season as the ridge of high pressure that has been located over the northern Rockies and high plains over the better half of the past month, the past 6 weeks, is moving eastward here and will be centered over, say, Minnesota by the end of this week, bringing pretty warm temperatures. Now, it's a northerly bias of Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, the Dakotas may be warmer than, say, Illinois, southern Iowa, and Nebraska. But still, the ridge of high pressure, which is where you get your warmest temperatures, is moving east, and that's something that we have yet to see this season, and it's as intense as it will be coming up in the next 5 to 10 days.
I suppose because we have quite a bit of ground moisture that we might have a few pop-up thunderstorms, any other kinds of things that would be coming along in terms of weather?
That's really about it, Todd. We see a weak frontal system coming through later this week, but it's really not going to drop a lot of precipitation for any of the Corn Belt. And we're looking at below normal precipitation both in this week upcoming as well as that first full week of August, the 7th out to the 13th. So below normal precip and above normal temperatures.
But we've been awfully cool, pretty wet so far. You're not too worried about subsoil moistures, or are there places around the Midwest that are really suffering?
Yeah, you still need to keep an eye on the upper northwest regions of the Corn Belt, so northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, southern Wisconsin. Those are the areas that have been the driest here throughout the season and continue to need to be watched. Areas like Illinois, though, the heart of the Corn Belt, and Indiana, southeast Iowa, they've been doing quite well, and so the warm temperatures coming up are less of a concern for that area versus the northwest region of the corn and bean belt.
Check in on the growing regions of China for me, please.
Sure. China is progressing quite well at this point. It's no anomalously warm temperatures across the belt over the next 2 weeks. Temperatures are going to remain relatively normal, and it's still an unsettled pattern. Normal temperatures, but frequent precipitation events. So by and large, there's no huge concerns either for extreme dryness or extreme wetness for China.
Wheat harvest in Ukraine should be underway. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going quite well. There were certainly very warm, extremely warm temperatures in Ukraine and Eastern Europe last week. The pattern there as well is going to more normal temperatures across
the majority of Eastern Europe as well as Ukraine. And while frequent precipitation events, we're not looking at any extreme wetness to build up delays for the potential harvest.
Anything else to check in on before I let you go?
I think that's it. You know, Australia is the other area we continue to watch, and Argentina, both from a wheat perspective. Western Australia is getting healthy precipitation now after being dry earlier in June and early July. In Argentina, cold and dry is the rule there, and that's an area we continue to watch on the global circuit here.
Josh, we appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday right here on the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, the weather. They're all right there on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.